Biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to Transforming Conversations. And today, there's a little bit of a different take on a topic, Pastor Rock, that I'd like to look at and unpack with you. You know, life kicks us around quite a bit.
Oh, it does.
And even as Christians, we don't have the option to not go through life.
You got to get beat up if you're alive.
Yeah, we are. We really do. And we all go through it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the passages of Scripture I'd like to look at, Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel 30. David talks about encouraging himself or strengthening himself in the Lord. Now, if that's something that we could all pull out of our pocket and just apply it like a pin, it'd be easy. We'd all do it. I think there is something a little deeper than just giving ourselves a pep talk to get through whatever it is we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the, let's just start with the Scripture. What was David actually doing? What was he talking about to encourage himself or to strengthen himself in the Lord that way?
One of the things David did consistently, and we know this from his Psalms, is David had frank conversations with himself.
And it doesn't mean he's nuts.
No. For example, David would address his own soul. Soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you in such an uproar? And then he would answer that question by reminding himself of things that should have kept him from getting all befuddled and in an uproar. And so we all need to cultivate the habit of having frank, honest conversations with ourselves, challenging ourselves.
Right.
You know, saying to ourselves, okay, right now I'm down, I'm this. How did I get here? Why am I here? What has changed? Has God changed? I haven't always been in this place. What has changed? If God hasn't changed, if God hasn't moved, if God's promises haven't been edited, then why am I in this place? What have I forgotten? What have I neglected? What have I failed to do? Or what have I allowed myself to do? How did I get here? David talked to himself.
Right. Almost had a way of objectively looking at the whole.
He would step back and try to, as best he could, analyze his spiritual condition and talk turkey to himself.
Right.
And that's not a given. I think a lot of people coast through life, never really challenging themselves, never really confronting themselves.
That is a discipline, isn't it?
It is a discipline.
Confronting yourself, right.
I mean, they'll talk to their friends about the things they're not happy with. They'll whine on Facebook. But looking themselves in the face, in the mirror, and saying, How did you get here?
Right.
This didn't happen overnight. How did you get here?
Right.
What brought you to this place? You know, the prodigal son, why did he return home? Well, he had a frank conversation with himself, didn't he?
That's right.
I mean, he said to himself, look at the mess I'm in. The servants in my father's house have never lived at this level. I'm eating pig food while the servants in my father's house eat well. And I'm not a servant there. I was a son there.
That's right.
I need to go back and apologize and make things right and cast myself on the mercy of my father. He had a talk with himself. There's no record of a prophet coming his way when he was in the pigsty. There's no mention of another human being. He wasn't in Christian counseling.
Right.
No pastor came along. No evangelist came along. No apostle came along. No angel visited him. He said to himself, what have I gotten myself into? I need to reverse this. And that led to his returning home and being fully restored with massive celebration. But it all started with him having a frank conversation with himself. And I think sometimes we're waiting for somebody to magically walk into our life and help us, when we need to have a frank conversation with ourselves.
Especially when we know where we're at.
Yeah.
We're not stupid.
Right. And let's be frank, if you're a believer, that's not just a conversation with yourself. The Holy Spirit dwells within you.
That's right. That's right.
And the Holy Spirit will talk turkey to you. He'll never fudge. He'll never spin. He'll never mislead you. He'll never distort the facts. He'll never gloss over your sin.
Right.
And so talking to yourself is a way of opening the door to hear from the Holy Spirit. So David would confront himself. And, you know, if we would confront ourselves, we wouldn't need many times to then have other people confront us.
That's right. And that's a lot worse.
There was another time in his life when David really didn't confront himself. That was with the whole Bathsheba affair. Then God had to confront him through the prophet Nathan.
Right.
Who told him the story of the man with one lamb and the guy who had a whole flock, and he had to have that poor guy's one single lamb. And when David heard the story, he said, that man should be executed. Where is he? And then Nathan looked him in the eye and said, well, David, that's you. Wham.
Right.
And that led to his repentance. But on that occasion, when he wouldn't talk to himself, God talked to him through the prophet Nathan. You are the man.
Again, showing God's love for us.
Yes. Yes, when we're on the wrong path, God always wants to restore us. Always. Because that's what love does. When love sees the loved one on the wrong path, it says, over my dead body. It gets in the face of the loved one. It says, you're better than this. Surely you can recognize this is not going to have a happy ending. What do you really expect to get out of this?
Right.
Is this where you want to live? Is this who you want to be? Is this all I'm capable of in your life? So God will get in our face, and I'm glad he does.
That's right.
But so sometimes we just need to have a talk with ourselves, like the prodigal, so we don't need God to send somebody our way like David with Bathsheba.
Right.
And most of his life, David tended to say, soul, why are you a mess? If you do right, won't you be lifted?
Right.
You know. So David had frank conversations with himself. but then strengthening himself in the Lord. The key, obviously, in that is those three words, in the Lord. David didn't just give himself a pep talk, you can do this.
Right.
We can do this. To strengthen yourself in the Lord is to focus upon God's attributes, what God's capable of. It's to focus on God's track record, what God has done. Focus on God's track record in others. That's valuable.
That's right.
And in your own life. You know, being able to say the Lord has brought me a mighty long way.
Right. Because when we get in those positions, all we do, like you said, is we focus on the issue and the problem. Our perspective really needs to change.
Yeah, we can't see past the end of our nose.
Yeah, really. Especially when we get into situations that seem hopeless.
We just look at the situation. We don't look at previous situations. We don't look at how God has intervened in the lives of others in similar situations.
Right.
We just obsess on the problem at hand.
Right.
And Scripture is always calling us to take the long view of things. In fact, it calls us to take the eternal view of things. And when David strengthened himself in the Lord, I think, again, the implications of that are, one, you focus upon God's attributes, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's love, God's justice, God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's care. You focus on the attributes of God. Well, if he's all that, he isn't going to desert me in this mess. If he's all that, he's got the wisdom to show me what to do. He's got the power to help me do it. And because he's loving, he'll show me and empower me.
Amen.
So you focus on his attributes. Then again, you focus on his track record. Am I the first person that's been in this kind of a situation? Well, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man.
Exactly.
Nobody's ever got to say, God, nobody's ever been in a problem like this one. God just chuckles. And do you know how often I've seen this, son? Daughter, do you know how many others have been in this same exact place?
Right.
I didn't fall off the turnip truck last night. You know, God has seen it all again and again and again and again. So we remind ourselves of how he's brought others through. And then we go back into our own life and remind ourselves of what God has done for us.
That's right.
How he saved us. And he didn't save us just to have us get off onto some detour and never arrive home.
That's right.
He didn't save us just to have us end our life as a mess. He said, having started a good work in us, he'll complete it. Despite the thing we're facing at the moment, he'll complete it. So we remind ourselves of what God has done for us. We tend to forget our testimonies too easily and obsess over our problems too frequently.
That's right.
We really do. It's amazing. God can do 1,000 good things for us and we forget them. One bad thing happens to us and we obsess on it.
That's right.
Strengthening yourself in the Lord. You look at the Lord's attributes, who he is. You look at the Lord's track record, what he's done for others, what he's already done for you. Then you look at the Lord's promises. Whatever you're facing, there are several hundred relevant promises for you in God's Word.
Amen.
Things that directly apply to your situation. They may not mention your cousin or or whatever, or your boss or the particular, but they do directly apply to your situation. Okay. And you review those, and you claim them for yourself. Now, to review them and claim them, you have to know them. That's why we're doing Know the Word.
There you go.
91 weeks with Jesus. Because I can't be comforted by a promise I don't know of.
That's right.
That's right. Can't claim what I can't remember. I need to know the Word so that I can claim the Word and stand on the Word and be encouraged by the Word and be strengthened by the Word and, where appropriate, say, that's for me.
That's right. Say.
So a lot of times, we're discouraged not because of the obstacle we're facing. We're discouraged because of the ignorance we've accepted.
Wow. That's right.
We're discouraged because we're ignorant of the Word. If we knew the Word better, we wouldn't be discouraged.
And we've accepted that.
Like, well, right. If you aren't doing anything to change it, I'd say you've accepted it.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, if you aren't doing anything to address your ignorance, haven't you accepted it?
That's right.
I mean, let's be frank. That's what you've done. You're happy to be ignorant.
Yep.
You're content to be ignorant until your ignorance hurts you. Then you don't want to lay the fault on your own ignorance. You want to lay the fault on God or other people.
It's like having cancer. Okay, I accept the fact that I have cancer. Well, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
You can choose to do something about
it. Yep. You can get surgery. You can get chemo. You can get radiation.
Right.
The thing is, that analogy breaks down because we can't ultimately remove cancer. God can ultimately deal with anything in our life.
Right.
But a lot of times, it's our ignorance that's killing us. And see, as you strengthen yourself in the Lord, then that gives God a chance to make you aware that, you know, the real problem here is not your boss, it's not your health, it's not your income, it's not this bill, it's not this person. The real problem here is your ignorance of my Word.
Wow, that's right.
To strengthen yourself in the Lord, you've got to know the Lord. And you know the Lord through two avenues, Word and Spirit. If you aren't studying the Word and practicing daily walking in the Spirit, well, then you're going to have a hard time strengthening yourself in the Lord because you don't know Him very well.
That's right. That's right.
So to strengthen yourself in the Lord, there are, I think we can dissect, what does that look like? Well, you go back to His attributes, you go back to His track record, you go back to His Word. Okay. And I think the other activities that are part of strengthening yourself in the Lord is Word and prayer. Get into that Word. And if you know your Bible, go to those passages that address difficult situations. If you don't know your Bible, well, you can at least Google. And I guarantee you, if you Google passages on God's strength and comfort,
something's going to come
bang
up.
Right. You'll have 300 on your screen.
Right.
And there you go.
Yeah. I used to write little cards when I was in difficult times, little index
cards, yeah.
Scriptures.
Right.
That meant something during that time.
Now today you can put them on your notes on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. And just to pull those out when you feel something.
Oh, I mean, there are so many sites.
Yeah.
You know, Bible verses for when you're facing disease. Bible verses for when you're 2-3 minutes on a computer, if you've got a computer, and you can be there. Now, what if you don't have a computer? Well, there are topical Bibles. Some Bibles in the back of them have verses on assurance, verses on comfort, verses on temptation, verses on trials.
Right.
Again, better if you know the Bible, but there are so many helps for where you don't know Scripture.
Right.
So when you're in the Word, you are strengthening yourself. When you are in the Word, you will be encouraging yourself. And then prayer. We too often substitute worrying about our problem, thinking about our problem, and talking about our problem to others for praying about our problem. And I like to remind people, thinking about it, obsessing about it, worrying about it, and talking to others is not prayer.
No, it's not.
It's thinking, obsessing, worrying, and talking. But it's not prayer.
Which
prayer is when you talk to God about your issue and get before Him to both pour out your heart and then listen.
Right.
And I'm sure when David strengthened himself in the Lord, he went to the Word he had, and he didn't have near as much as us, and he certainly didn't have Google.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Hey, he didn't even have all of what we know as the Old Testament, because he was going to write a big portion of it.
Right, right.
So, but he went to the Word he had, I'm sure, because in the Psalms, doesn't he say in the very first Psalm that the righteous meditate in God's Word day and night and delight in the Word? So David, who didn't have nearly the Word we have, had learned to meditate in the Word he did have and delight in it, and then to tell us from experience that those who do that are like trees planted by living water.
That's right.
Who are healthy and bear fruit. David wrote that from experience. So there's no substitute for Word and prayer. Strengthen yourself. And how do I encourage myself in the Lord? Get in the Word. Get into prayer.
Recite the attributes. Recite His promises.
Recite His promises. Review His track record with you and with others. And finally, I would say, because the Lord dwells in our brothers and sisters, to encourage yourself in the Lord is to share your struggles with other believers,
right,
so that you can hear God through them.
Right.
Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I can't bear your burden if I don't know it, Greg.
Right.
That verse presumes you've shared your burden with me. Often our encouragement in the Lord comes through the Lord in our brothers and our sisters. That's why God calls us into community.
That's right.
I need the Christ in you to speak to me. So those are all aspects of encouraging yourself in the Lord. His attributes, His track record, His promises, His Word, prayer, and God in other believers. You do those things, unless you are determined to be miserable, I guarantee you your perspective's got to get altered, and your discouragement has got to give way to encouragement, and you will have found your strength in the Lord, because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength, not the pleasantness of our circumstances, but the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And your strength comes from the Lord. Scripture says that as well.
That's right.
We don't lift our eyes unto the hills like the pagans who think that high spots are sacred spots. We put our eyes on the Lord, from whom our help comes.
Amen.
From whom our strength comes.
That's right.
You know, and that final one that I had mentioned, through other believers, a prime example of that is the New Testament follower known to us as Barnabas.
Son of encouragement.
The name that the church gave him means, in translation, son of encouragement. Hmm. Because everywhere you find Barnabas in the book of Acts, he's encouraging somebody. He's standing with Saul when the church didn't want to accept him, and encouraging Saul by partnering with him until the church said, okay, he's not a plant, he's not a spy, he has been changed.
Right.
Then he encourages the early church by selling his property and giving the entirety of the sale proceeds to the church and to God's work. Then when Paul didn't want to take Mark along, Barnabas says, well, then I'll go on another journey and I'll take him along. And he encouraged Mark, who finished quite well.
Right.
He and Paul together encouraged the Jewish believers to accept the Gentile believers as the real deal and full brothers in Christ. Everywhere you find Barnabas, he's encouraging. The people who were encouraged by Barnabas weren't encouraged by Barnabas. They were encouraged by the Jesus in Barnabas. But when I say part of being encouraged in the Lord is getting with other believers, Barnabas is a prime example.
Right.
And make sure he was a tool of God's encouragement.
And we got to surround ourselves with those believers that are kind of like that, not the ones that just woe is me.
Oh, the last, you know, if you're hurting, the last thing you need is somebody who loves their sorrow.
Or their drama or whatever it is they have.
Some, right? And, you know, some people love their sorrow and their drama.
They do.
I mean, Jesus said to a guy who couldn't walk, would you be made whole? And that seems like an incredibly dumb question, but it isn't.
Right.
Some people have fallen in love with their limp. And
that's another conversation.
And they wouldn't know how to live without it.
Right.
And in many ways, they'll whine and complain, but they don't want to be healed, because if they did, they could be.
And it's a lot like what you were saying with our accepting our ignorance of the Scripture. That can change. Do you want it to change? Absolutely.
If you're ignorant of Scripture, why are you ignorant of Scripture?
Because you've accepted the fact that you are.
Yeah, because right. If you open, it's alive and powerful, and God will speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will interpret for you.
Right.
So if you're ignorant of Scripture, you're ignorant of Scripture for one reason. You want to be.
That's right. So that's going to be another topic. Do you want to be healed?
Seemingly. Oh, yeah, that's a deep one. But
we can
get so used to our sin and our brokenness that it becomes a part of our identity.
Wow.
And then for it to go away feels like a destruction of our identity. And again, I don't want to get us way off topic, but that's why I've said, your temptation, your brokenness is not your identity. And I've referenced that in talking about the whole homosexuality phenomenon, that I think men and women who are caught up in homosexuality are broken and need healing. But many of them have fallen in love with the disease.
Right.
And have learned to identify themselves by that brokenness, so that the invitation to escape its influence, maybe they can't escape its presence, but to escape its domination over their life, feels like you're calling them to deny their very identity.
Wow.
Well,
that's going to be another conversation.
If you're lame from birth, that can become part of your identity.
Sure.
So questions like, do you want to be healed, are very relevant questions. God doesn't ask dumb questions.
That's right. That's right. Wow.
So do you want to be encouraged? It's all there for you, and it'll all work. And if it doesn't work, maybe you like being discouraged because it gets you attention.
Wow. Time. Thank you once again.
You are welcome.
We're gonna look at that because I'm very interested in the seemingly dumb question, but not really.
No, it's Jesus never asked dumb questions.
Thank you, brother, again.
You're welcome.